Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Monday, July the 26th, 2021, and I have the honor of having Debbie Davis on. She's been on before with me. She's a whistleblower, Department of Defense whistleblower, Army whistleblower on John McCain and all the trafficking of everything down there. We're going to talk about this. Now, she brought on a friend of hers, Penny Shepherd, who's an MK Ultra victim, like probably my ex-witch doctor, I say ex-witch doctor, was, because her father was a fallen angel-possessed human being, Leonard Millman. But I have these two on, and Debbie knows Penny much better than I do. I've had a long talk with Penny, but I want Debbie to kind of co-host the show. But before you do, I want you to give a little bit of your background real quick, Debbie, to remind people who you are.
Okay, yeah, good evening. Okay, so thanks for having me on again, Stu. And so I accidentally became a whistleblower when I accidentally, at the Arizona National Guard. I was on your show a couple times talking about a few things, and basically I uncovered an embezzlement scandal that was happening at the base, and then the Arizona National Guard, but then that led to further investigations into the base, and then also John McCain's Institute and other things involving Arizona. So
you might talk in your mic just a little bit better if you can.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, I ended up being just a really big deal, $2.7 million missing, but my understanding is they found a lot more than just that, and it also included human trafficking going on through that military base. So that's why it ended up being so dangerous. And I literally had to flee for my life, and I've been in danger for 10 years and had a lot of different things happen to me. But anyway, so I unfortunately became a whistleblower. I don't think anybody purposefully becomes a whistleblower, you know. So I kind of hate that whole, you know, the how people consider us whistleblowers, you know, a certain breed. And, you know, I think anybody could become a whistleblower. But I met Penny when I was in...
Debbie, I would ask you, maybe hold your phone away just a little bit, because I'm getting...
Okay, is that better? I took it off.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay, I apologize. So I've been on a few radio shows talking about my story, and Penny had heard me when I was on Field McConnell's show briefly. Real briefly, and then it actually wasn't a good interview at all. And but anyway, I think she had heard about me on there, and she had contacted me, and she was warning me about different things. And we got to talking a little bit, and then we got to meet in person in Texas, and she got to explain to me about her background. So she didn't actually start remembering some of her past until she was in her 50s. But most of her life she was used as an MK Ultra CIA asset. Is that right, Penny?
Yeah, deep state asset.
Deep state asset, yeah. So, and she doesn't even recall some of the things that she did. So she was born into an Illuminati family. She does not even for sure know some things about her family. Yeah, but she knows that they were associated with the Illuminati. And all the guys she was married to, they were the Illuminati. And it were like satanic marriages, right? In the satanic churches, things like that, right, Penny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get into something that happened in Texas, because now, because there was something that happened there with her when I went to go visit her, and then I moved out of Texas, but this involves John McCain. There was, we met in person, and we met at the ranch she was staying on, and I was briefly telling her how some of the whistleblower stuff in Arizona involved John McCain. And then there was a gentleman that was staying on the ranch in the trailer park there that I met. That was when I went to go visit her and her friend Susie. And Chet was this like super he was a super decorated veteran. And right, Susie, I got to meet him, and he had a friend. Okay, well, so Chet, we get to meet Chet, and he was he did all these special forces operations in the government on the good side. Chet was on the good side, and I was telling him a little bit about what was being exposed about John McCain, and a little bit about how I was in Arizona with the border. I got to meet Chet briefly, super nice guy. And then he was like, he said at the end, he said, I need to go tell this guy that's in a nursing home here in Bastrop, Texas. I need to go hunt him down. He was a POW with John McCain. And so the last we heard was that Chet was, well, I think that they didn't like us talking, me and Chet, okay, because he was like a high level, like he was basically an assassin for the military. And then I think he was going to go hunt this guy down. Well, Chet ends up murdered 3 days after we met in Texas there, in Bastrop. Do you want to tell him briefly about that, Penny, or should I just tell him what happened?
Well, basically, Chet was U.S. Air Force recon. He ran cadaver dogs and DEA dogs, and his commanding officer was Michael Aquino. So Chet was very well known in the military, or his ops. He ran 9 operations in Southeast Asia. I believe that he was under Operation Phoenix, which was an MK Ultra operation. He was the only one that was Air Force, and he had Marines that were working with him. He also was ordered by Kissinger to go into Southeast Asia and retrieve the bodies of 26 soldiers that had technology in them.
If I can add something, Colonel Michael Aquino, a lot of people know him from the Presidio, and Ted Gundersen used to call him every day, and I want to bring that up, but he was Colonel Michael Aquino running the mind control, and then he ended up General Michael Aquino before his death out of Washington. Go ahead.
Correct. Well, Chet was, they asked Chet to kill Michael Aquino at one point. He was his commanding officer, so yes, he did know him. At Fort Bragg, he studied him to try and find out why they wanted him to kill him, and then they sent him on an operation in, I don't know if it, where it was in Southeast Asia, to kill him. He failed his mission, ended up stabbed and in a coma, and when my friend, who I call my sister Susie, had encountered him, she was talking to him about Michael Aquino. He said, how do you know about Michael Aquino? Then it turned out that Chet came to be security on Susie's ranch, and he... person who was running Bastrop right now was the head sheriff for the Texas Rangers during Waco. He ran the Waco under Janet Reno. This man now is the head sheriff in Bastrop and working with the cartel. I warned Chet because I'm a cipherist. I'm trained under MK Ultra under the generals, and I received a cipher. I told him that that some of Aquino's people were watching him. 2 days later, Susie came back and said, hey, Chet's been erased. I said, yeah, I know he's been erased. I told him I would help him un-erase himself. She said, no, he had to call the Pentagon because his paperwork is no longer in the Pentagon. And when he called, they said, Master Sergeant, you're still alive? He said, yes, I am. I'm calling you. Meaning that he was literally, the day that I told him that they were watching him, that they took him out of the system. And then, consequently, 2 weeks later, he was murdered by the cartel, who were working in conjunction with the sheriff, who knew who Chet was, and the sheriff also was shaking hands with Bush Sr. May 19th, 1990. So this man is a high-ranking Mason, and also the sheriffs, aside from being Masons and Satanists, are also very adept at hypnosis, which that comes in very handy when you're doing an interrogation and you're saying, no, it happened this way.
Yeah, that was just, so still to this day, so they were coming back, Susie, and thankfully Penny was not in the vehicle, but they were coming back from somewhere to eat, and they like all of a sudden cartel, they were pulling into the ranch, and all of a sudden a vehicle came behind them out of nowhere and with weapons, and they cut him off, and they just started targeting Chet. Like, it was, I mean, just blew him away right then. And so Susie had fled out of the car and just turned around one time to shoot back. And then the dirty sheriff is trying to charge her with a charge.
Right, that's not actually what happened. What happened was it was a triangulation. It was a strategized triangulation, which they had strategized for quite some time. And I had a pre-warning not to get in the truck with Chet. Prior to this happening, I had bought 10 clocks, and I hung them on the wall. And I just finished hanging those clocks on the wall. Chet died at 10 that evening. And these are some of the things that under MK Ultra, I am a cyclist. I'm also trained in telepathic and remote viewing. These are things that they trained me when they tortured me as I was a child under MK Ultra, because I found out I was born into Joseph Mengele's family. I was raised by the Mengers, because the Mengers are the Mengele's. So Chet knew who I was. Chet told me that he kissed me when I was like 17. I was playing, he played drums. And he said he played drums for me all night long at some venue, a Marine room in Florida. I didn't remember it happening because I don't think it was just that I was under MK Ultra, but I was also drugged. And Chet had said, yes, you look like you were drugged at the time, which I didn't remember this encounter at all, but Chet remembered. Chet also knew the project that I was under, which is Project Genesis, and the sub-project is Project Eve.
Wow.
Now, Michael Pino. Yeah.
So Benny has quite the story, but then that just, you know, I think it was a mixture of Chet just being who he is, but then on top of it, he knew somebody who was a POW with McCain. I mean, just everything, and he just got targeted and annihilated, and we were just completely freaked out. But the sheriff in that county in Bastrop is a corrupt sheriff, like the one in my county and that I'm dealing with in McPherson County, South Dakota, the one we're dealing with in Maricopa. And this guy is right up there. He's a Mason. They're all Masons. These are dirty Masons. Cops are all the problem. And he has still to this day never done any kind of investigation into those men who just openly murdered him.
Yeah, when this happened, God told Susie to get in the truck. So Susie went in the truck, and then when the triangulation happened, and her son was outside of the truck, she reached for her gun and shot blindly backwards because they had the headlights flashing on her face so she couldn't see anything. And then subsequently, we called Homeland Security, we called the Texas Rangers, called the FBI, and the sheriff eventually told her that now the Texas Rangers are brought in, and then he arrested her. We're shooting back on our own land, stand your ground, in the middle of a firefight to try and get them to stop shooting, and they never processed the car. They never processed the car. They kept her vehicle. They never processed it. We still were pulling bullets out of it when she got it back to the house.
There's so many people that I've seen murdered, over 50 whistleblowers now, in 40 years. And I can tell you, this is no accident. Here's why. If you go to my website, stuweb.com, and you punch in the search box, the Cotola affidavit, C-U-T-O-L-A affidavit, Colonel Cotola ran an operation where he was bugging, while Daddy Bush was CIA director, he was bugging all the congressmen, senators, sheriffs, judges, prosecutors, everybody, ran a whole team, Army Intelligence, putting bugs in the electrical plug-ins, and also in the sprinkler systems, they were installing cameras. So they had the sheriff in there having an affair with the secretary or his counterpart or whatever, and he's got a wife at home with kids, and they need a favor. They walk in, CIA boy walks in and lays down some pictures, and they say, what do you want? We want you to do this to Penny. We want you to do this to Stu. We want you to do this to Debbie, and that's what happens. this is the way the game's played. I've seen it for too long. But you two have been through total hell, because I know who John McCain was. He was a piece of garbage that answered to Mizell and Brownstein all the time, the two APEC.
Well, I've been told that I'm the only one in the entire, I'm one of the only ones in the entire 30 or 40 years he's been as bad as he is. I'm one of the only ones that have ever survived John McCain. No. That's how evil he was.
Well, I call it what they dubbed it was MDC 200, illegal political campaign money laundering, but they called it the Keating Five, which John McCain was the focus of because of the illegal political campaign money laundering my ex-father-in-law, Larry Mizell, and Brownstein, the two APEC directors, were doing. Now, McCain, I give you credit. You've done more damage to him, and you exposed on the last show, which I've still got to get up, and I have been hacked, folks, and I got unhacked. So a few people are complaining about being blocked. They may have been. Here's the deal, is that Debbie did an excellent job, and she exposed McCain for what he was. Drugs, guns, weapons, child trafficking, and body parts went through Arizona because of John McCain and the poll he had. Now, he was on the Armed Services Committee. His wife, an article was written about her, supplying the beer to the troops and water in Afghanistan. But what he was doing, they were supplying the chemicals needed to melt down this, what is it they get out of Afghanistan? Opium or
opium. Yeah.
It melts it down to put the paste so they can put it on the drones and fly it into Homestead Air Base in Florida. It used to go to the air base down here in Knobnostor, Missouri, near Kansas City, east of us. And it was flying there. But I have an Air Force. Oh, by the way, that's another NSA underground secret base, 8 floors with everything. It's got the shield over it and everything, Penny, we were talking about earlier. Different spots, Atlanta, Bluffdale, et cetera. But they were flying it there for a long time. And then Jeb Bush, oh, no, we want to divert it over here to Homestead Air Force, Hollywood Air Base, where Neil Bush, N. Bush, and L. Millman used to have a warehouse deeded into their name. Leonard Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father, because he owned Silverado, where Neil Bush was director. Now, you mentioned in private conversation we've had, Penny, in the past, and Debbie both. Now, you've exposed hell on McCain, and I want you to add anything that needs to be added. But, Penny, you've brought up in a conversation about Ted Gunderson and about Barbara Hartwell and about these trolls on the Internet. I want you to tell the experience that you've had with those two clowns.
Well, the one experience, I actually listened to Ed Opperman, who was a PI in Santa
I've been on
Santa
a show.
Monica.
He's been on mine. Okay, go ahead.
I like it. Ed seems like he has a very clear head. I actually contacted him last night because I'm working with Megan Walsh, and I wanted to verify an individual who wrote a book about Otis Toole. And he's a professor in Jacksonville, and he basically verified that, thumbs down on this individual. And then I listened to him more, and the individual basically used the term satanic panic, which when they use that, then they're going to basically discredit anything involving the actual satanic, proposition.
Right.
So Ed asked him, he says, did you ever research the McMartin case? And so I'm laughing, right? Because that's actually, I researched it. And as you well know, what that involved. It was Ted who Opperman had said, through his investigations, had been contacting Aquino on a daily basis.
Ted
and then
Gunderson.
Also it was one.
XFBI,
yes, it was
Ted
one
Gunderson.
Of the,
okay.
Yeah, and it was one of the women whose children had been involved in the McMartin case that funded Gunderson, and the allegations were that he was couch surfing, and he was basically in the widows club, the widows and orphans club, where he was couch surfing on people's couches and soliciting funds from them while he's standing in front of the public saying that he used all of his funds at the end of his day to disclose these things.
He ripped off one little lady, Anna Mae Newman, who was the maid to Clint Murchison Sr., that they had the big party down in Dallas after they murdered Kennedy, Bush, and all of them, celebrating. She was the one that kept the clothes clean and kept his wardrobe. Now, his son owned the Dallas Cowboys later on. And when he died, Ted Gutterson was in charge of his estate. The little old lady, he claims to her, "Oh, Anna, you got $80,000 here. I need $75,000 to expose this child abuse ring." Blah, 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 blah. He conned her out of her $75,000, then moves her to Las Vegas, where he gets her Social Security. She was an illegal alien from Ireland, and he gets her Social Security, and it pays his rent for him. That's how nasty that bastard was.
Well, the reason why I even started investigating Ted was because my brother, who's head of MKUltra, and I got in an argument about Ted when I thought Ted was a good guy. So on and off, I started researching to find out, you know, who actually Ted was. And then I contacted some family members, and I contacted the granddaughter. And then the granddaughter starts saying, "Oh, Papa was a great guy." And I'm like, "No, he wasn't." And then I was also called to be on a show, Ground Zero, where they tried to tell me that Ted married Anton LaVey's widow,
that's true,
Diane, right?
Yes.
So I'm trying to verify it. So then, in order to verify this, there's another cover story out there that says, with Ted Gunderson's face on this, it's a site for when you're looking up for dead people, that he said that he married this woman like Laverne or Lavert, and he stayed married to her for 50 years. So I'm trying to investigate it. It leads me to Barbara Hartwell's site. At Barbara Hartwell's site, I see this thing where it says she's supporting this woman whose name is Lucinda Furness. She goes by Lucy Fur, and she works with the Church of Satan, and she says the Church of Satan never harms anybody, and that this, the 24th of December is just another day. Well, I know it's a satanic holiday, and so I contact another person who works with her, who's Romola D, who wanted to interview me. I don't know these people from Adam. I never went on her show. So I say, "Hey, Romola, why is this that she's supporting the Church of Satan on her site?" The next thing I know, Romola tweets out that we're not going to listen to anything that Penny Lane Shepherd has to say. I don't even know these people. And then Barbara Harwell writes a whole blog on me. I'm like pissed for weeks after this, about saying that my name, which was a covert action name, which they gave me when I was an infant, and then they added to it, which is Agent X-11, is a stupid name, and I'm talking about reptilians. I don't even know this woman, and she's discrediting me because I asked one simple question. She also had said that it was her sister, Irene, that was in the picture, that MKUltra picture that's on the web. And I said, you know, I think it could be anybody on the web. It does look like me. I'm not saying that it is, but I think that that person, whoever it is, represents all of us. And there's been a lot of allegations in regards to that particular picture. And somebody else said that they knew who it was. And I don't believe that it was Irene, her sister.
Now, I'm going to add a few things, because I was attacked by Ted Gunderson. I was attacked by Barbara Hartwell. And I have interviews of Anthony LaVey, the son of the Church of Satan. Anton LaVey's father was Church of Satan. Now, they used to
perform. His name is Anthony?
His name is Anthony. And if people go to schoolweb.com, up on my search.
I kept calling Anton LaVey Anthony.
Anthony's
the
son.
And I think I think that Anton LaVey might have sat in with me in my band in California. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, believe me, he was running out of a hotel. Remember that song, Hotel California?
Yes, it was recorded 6 minutes from my school the year that I went to that studio. It was recorded there.
Okay. That was about Anthony LaVey and about the hotel being full of demons and devils. Now, Anthony LaVey did an interview with me, or Anthony did. He wrote a book. I put something up. If go to stuweb.com, punch in search box, Anthony LaVey. Go to the radio bar, number one, the first one on the left, and it says Radio, Stu Webb Radio, second, where these shows would be posted. Anthony is in an interview down towards the bottom, where I did it with him years ago on Revolution Radio or something out of California. Here was one of the stations. He did an interview. It ended up getting cut short. Only got about 45 minutes of an hour and a half or whatever. They cut the rest, but I was able to retrieve that. In there he talks about being in this tunnel in Denver, locked up with Scott Millman, my ex-brother-in-law, who I didn't ever consider him to be a brother-in-law, he's a shithead. here was the point. Talking about being bad boys because they weren't having sex with the fallen angels at the summer solstice. They castrated him there, folks. Castrated him. Now, he's got a new book out, and he talks about that, how one of the guards, someone, they threw him out the door, and they rushed him to the hospital and saved his life. Now, there's an interview with him talking about Ted Gunderson as well, marrying his mother, his father's stepmother. I forgot her name. It was around 99 or 2000. Gunderson married her. He lived with her, listen to this, ladies, for 2 weeks. She kicked him out because she called him a three-minute man because he couldn't perform in bed. Now, Ted Gunderson turns out to be Jocelyn Gunderson, his first wife, and the second one was his satanic Anton LaVey's widow, the witch. He gets an annulment. Here's where you can check the records. An annulment on Charleston Boulevard in 1999 or 2000 to 2001. Look him up. Family Court, Charleston Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada. He got an annulment because she called him the three-minute man, kicked him out. Now, Anthony LaVey talked about Gunderson being a piece of garbage. Oh, bet in that interview. Ted Gunderson's wife, ex-wife, Jocelyn, divorced him in 1972 because he came home. They found out he had been diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenia. He has two children. His daughter that lives in California, he bleeds money and kept feeding her all the time, and the son named Ted Gunderson Jr. out of four kids. Both of them had paranoid schizophrenia problems. If they don't take their meds, one has out-of-body experiences when she gets on a plane to fly to see her mother, Jocelyn. That's the one in California. The daughter you probably talked to. Now,
I talked to the daughter-in-law, and she said that Ted Jr. was very sick.
They were both diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenia. And Ted Gunderson's ex-wife was talking to me for an hour and a half because I'm telling her how he targeted me in Las Vegas. How he set me up with this killer. And then I check him out. I thought the guy was going to blow me away. I didn't have a gun. I thought I'm going to have to kill him. I had to walk home. I told him to stay away from this cat and gator. He did it anyway because he thought he was going to get paid $200,000. And then he sets me up, has me go to his place. I climb a 5-story building, ladies, as an ex-Marine, went up the friggin' gutter, story to story, to get in his place where he said, go in there and find out what's going on with Anna Mae Newman. I had a key. Guy had chained, and it was this guy named Punk. He swings at me. I go through the door. I see the patio door open 5 stories. I go climb in the building, go in there, and he jumps out of this rack, and he swings at me. I slammed him up against the wall in the solar plexus, knocked him to the ground. I said, get the fuck out of here. He went out in his underwear riding a bicycle home. Now, I got charged with assault. Went on for a year and a half in Vegas because of Gunderson. He robbed me, goes on, Alex Jones, fucking stooge. Jeff Rentz, stooge. Ah, stooge, yeah, he robbed me. He was charged with a robbery at my place, no? He robbed boxes of my stuff. He never had anything I ever saw. When he was in Dallas, Texas, folks, he made an offer to me. He happened to show up in Las Vegas, want to have lunch, watch my condo. I lived over there for 3 months. He wasn't at his condo. I lived in his condo. I needed a place to live at the time. Then later I moved out when he moved back to Las Vegas and I was living in a cheap trailer. Now Gunderson, Barbara Hartwell starts attacking. Oh, she's going to become my friend suddenly.
Right.
Oh, she wants to attack Ted Gunderson. They created an image of Stu Webb versus Ted Gunderson for nearly 3 years instead of Stu Webb, whistleblower, versus the Bush-Clinton Milman crime syndicate. Okay? That's what they tried to do. Now, Barbara Hartwell was one of the Montauk Project. Read Montauk's series of projects. She would sit in space-time. It's called the OG meter, top secret, OG meter. They put on them. The problem was, during Montauk, which several people that contribute to the book. One is dead that I know personally, probably saw a year and a half ago. He's still dead. His wife supported him without saying no more. Now, he told me, the key was Nephilim bloodline. Fallen angel bloodline was injected into Barbara Hartwell's, her mother's womb when she was in the womb. She told me that herself. Those were the only ones that made it in Montauk through space-time with the Aug meter, went through the barrier, came back, and were living. The rest of them exploded that were pure human.
Do you know how old Barbara Hartwell is?
Barbara's about 5 or 6 years younger than me. I'm 67.
Okay, I was born in 1958 in Project Genesis, Subproject Eve, which is a cloning project, and I was utilized at these bases, in the deep underground military bases, by the progenitors, which were Dulles and Gottlieb. I was utilized in these ops. And so
Alan Ball is part of the super program, the OSS for World War II, which became the CIA.
Correct. What I'm getting at is that I will be 63 this August. I think she must be around my age because I was used in Project Montauk. And the person, Preston Nichols, I think Preston Nichols was actually a perpetrator because his main gig was he was an electrician. So I think he was actually a perp there. And the people that are coming forward, that like Stuart Swordlow, that guy's a demon. Okay, Stuart Swordlow said that he was sent back in time to kill Jesus. And then he took a look at Jesus and he fled from him because Stuart's a demon and he's also an occultist. I can't even listen to that guy's voice. He's married, but he's gay.
Penny, one of the things that I've noticed in the past year, you're a believer, and I know Debbie is, I am, in Christ. We're in end time. I used to think, people are a little crazy. I've watched this stuff over the years because I believe in Jesus. I really committed myself in 97. After that, I saw people dying around me. I just pray for them, their salvation. And they die in a short period of time if they don't do the righteous thing. It's weird. God knows me.
That's kind of like that's a super soldier kind of thing because I just got in an argument with someone today who said that he thought that I was actually sensationalizing the fact that Netflix Stranger Things, the little girl 11 that's depicted in that is me. I said, no, I'm not sensationalizing anything. I was erased for 58 years and started regaining my knowledge through my own research, and I found out that little person was me, and everyone in that Stranger Things, it depicts someone in my epic family. I was given to a man at 17 whose name is Durrell, and he is Albert Speer's son, Hitler's Minister of War. My brother, I found out, is Joseph Mengele's son. I said, why does my brother, who I found out was my brother, he was my agent, why does he look like Joseph Mengele? Why do I look like Irene Schoenbeam, who married Joseph Mengele? And why does my murdered brother David look like Rolf, their son? Every time I see Rolf, I weep because my brother David was murdered on a high satanic holiday in public on a beach, Mission Beach. His mission was over. I never got his body back, and I don't believe I even got his bones back. And then in 2019, I found out that my brother has interest in a shoe company because he's Mr. Red Shoes and he's wearing my other brother as shoes.
Oh my gosh.
The things you've been through.
These people are so sick. And Darrell, isn't Darrell from Minnesota?
Yes, he is. That's what I was saying. Where are you? Right?
And I'm from Minnesota and then we were wondering.
Yes, because I believe. He was born in Mankato. Okay, he was born in Mankato. Now, Albert Spears was born in Mannheim, right? Heim, home. Mannheim. He's born in Mankato. What they did was they utilized, when you came out to see us, you knew that Camp Swift was a former German POW camp, okay? And we were gassed on there. Someone was sent to our place, and they tried to gas us. We almost died. This other Eastern Star witch who's written a bunch of books came out to stay with us, and she tried to kill us on this camp, tried to gas us on a German POW camp.
Penny, I'd ask you the question, did you notice by the time most MK Ultras turn 30, they have memory lapse? In other words, some go into depression because of what has happened to them, child abuse, satanic abuse, other types of abuse that the shrinks call it. I got a daughter who's a shrink, and I don't even know her, MD. Here's the point.
Yeah, they try to break out of the MK Ultra. Usually around the 30s, they break out of it. But because my family are Hitlers, Eichmanns, Mengeles, and Speers, I was held to a higher task with my handlers. So these are prolific handlers that are deep state handlers that are above presidential, way above presidential.
Yes.
So, you know, John worked with Fauci, he worked with Gates, he worked with the presidents.
The 12 disciples of Satan above the president, Al Martin, Iran Contra whistleblower, used to call him. Now,
tell me that thing that you told me about the gentleman that had a message for Bush, and he met him at a satanic ceremony with a hood on. Can you tell that story?
Well, Otis Johnson, a friend of mine, he was William Casey's direct assistant. And Bush killed Casey because Casey decided he was going to turn against Bush. After he left the CIA director, he was going to go before Congress one morning and testify that Bush had robbed and looted and destroyed the country. And Bush goes to his office before he goes to give his testimony with two goons who hold him in the chair, and Bush shoves a needle in his temple, cerebral hemorrhage. He's laying in Bethesda. He was laying in Bethesda Naval Base for 10, 14 days, and he dies. He tells all the nurses and doctors.
Went to the doctor. Yeah, I read the story where he went to the doctor, and then he has a seizure in the doctor's office. So what you're saying makes absolute sense.
Otis was one of two people allowed to see him because he was his direct assistant. Otis was a super spook, Otis Johnson. He picked up the Russian sub in 72, punching Otis Johnson on my internet site. You can read about it. The Glomar Explorer picked up a Russian sub, took all the codes. We were 10 years advanced ahead of him, whole bit, because of that. He ran the operation. He actually had his picture on a video inside the History Channel, and I told him, and he had the damn video yanked. Now, Otis became a friend of mine. I met him in a prison cell in Denver, Colorado. He was busting the Louisiana governor, still in operation by Casey. The guy that was his roommate busted John Gotti. He was a CIA cop because of a Ross Perot running an operation. Well, I'm hiding from the FBI. Him and I teamed up. He got all of them canned in 97, big fines, but nobody went to jail. Here's the point. Otis told me that Casey said Bush put a cerebral hemorrhage a needle to his temple, calls him cerebral hemorrhage. Well, he's lying dead, dying on the bed. He's telling the nurses and doctors how bad Bush looted the country. All the doctors and nurses that were on staff, shifts on him, all died mysteriously within 6 months of suicide. They shot themselves in the head, or they were car crashed in rollovers. All the doctors and nurses. Now, Otis said he went to the old Navarre. Still, I went to the old Navarre. He says, I had to get a signature, George Herbert Walker Bush, the vice president in charge of national security. That's what BPs do, folks. They're in charge of the national security, basically of the country. They report every detail to the president. People don't know that. That's fact. Now, there he is. Vice President, he's in charge of national security. So William Casey, who was part of the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, the Brown Shoe Boys, the 79, Milman, Kissinger, George Herbert Walker Bush, Alan Dulles, all these were part of the super program. They became the CIA. They were in charge. They called them Brown Shoe Boys because they wore black suits with brown shoes, where the FBI wore black suits with black shoes.
Oh,
they were
the
OSS. The 79 super program, they called it. Now, Otis's dad was one of them. Otis became a spook as a result of his dad, Air Force Intelligence. Then he sat in silos in Nebraska. I don't want to say where, Office of National Security silos. It isn't Omaha the headquarters. I can tell everybody everything, would be screwed. I won't do that. That's national security. But Otis, after Casey died, he was put in a jail cell in the hole for a year and a half in Las Vegas for trying to bust the Louisiana governor, part of the money laundering tied to Bush. It was part of the operation. He gets out. He gets compensated about $1 million after he keeps his mouth shut for a year. But he was assigned to E-Systems Dallas, Raytheon, Daddy Bush's corporation. That's MKUltra, sit him down the chair. The clone, sit him down the chair. Mind control. They stone our technology, Westar satellite system, steal the election, tied to the election fixers in Denver. Dominion Software, which Milman Incorporated, the Brownstein Dominion, it's up on my website. That's what screwed Trump out of the election. Goes back that far. Now, Super Spook Otis escapes out of there. E-Systems, after about 5 years watching him, and he ends up at the NSA as a part of the think tank. Somebody calls me up and says, oh, the French have sent the French de Gaulle down to blow up a saucer base that's responsible for knocking the airliner in 2006, the French airliner, out of the air. Give him a call. I said, I'm not going to wake him up. I'll call him off. It was a spoofer. I called the next day. He goes, yeah, well, what do you want to know? Is it true? He said, well, yeah, it's true. I was on shift last night. He says, they told me, notified me, we sent the USS Blank in there. And he says, we torpedoed the shitting thing with nuclear-tipped torpedoes. And the alien underground water base, along with the French de Gaulle. He says, and I didn't even call the President Obama to wake him up and notify him what we just did. That's how much power Otis had. Otis was working with General Flynn up to the end. 3-4 years ago when he murdered him, he said, Stu, don't worry about Mueller. If he doesn't prosecute Hillary Clinton, for her role in the fake dossier with Strzok and the FBI, and everybody, McCain, who originally got it from Jeb Bush and passed it to the FBI and Hildebeest, McCain again, John McCain, the crooked satanic senator. He says, if he doesn't do his job, he'll find himself in a prison cell. 2 months later, I'm calling Otis up. He doesn't answer his phone. So I call his son. His son answers his too. My dad's in bad shape at VA hospital in Omaha. He puts a phone up there. They got me. They stunned me. I can feel death coming. I'm going to die, Stu. You get him. I said, I'll get him, Otis. 2 weeks later, General Flynn, who he was working for, was fired and charged illegally. Now, Scott Bennett and General Flynn share the same attorney, Powell, who's representing what? Former president in 4 or 5 lawsuits that might get turned around in the next year. But Super Spook Otis Johnson, he unloaded on me. The things I know about this guy, what he did was tremendous. The things that had gone on in this country were tremendous. And I met not only him. I had the honor to meet 2 other Super Spooks, classified. There were only 350 of them ever trained like these people. They were trained in San Antonio several times. They had PhDs. They spent $150 million in training in 40 years on Otis Johnson. He went in as a farmer from Nebraska on a trade deal with Russia. Left Moscow. Went, took pictures on the ground of a nuclear base that had a cover on it they couldn't get with satellite. They needed to find out on the ground. He did. Escaped through Iran at 52 years of age. He had his first heart attack. 2 days later, he was given testimony back in the U.S. And that was Super Spook Otis Johnson. You there, Penny?
Yeah, I'm here. Wow. Well, you guys both,
you know, so it's one thing that, there's one thing that I wanted to mention. When I was in junior high school, they gave out these POW bracelets. And I remember the POW bracelet that I got.
Penny, I remember your question. Otis said he was dispatched to Denver, Colorado to have George Bush sign a document. So they put him on a special plane. They flew him out there. He lands. He's told to go to the Brown Palace Hotel. Down in the corner is called the Ship's Tavern. Go between the two restrooms, one on each side. There's a door. Go through that door. It goes to the old Navari, an old casino whorehouse that my ex-father-in-law owned. And they run one of the billionaires runs a loan company out of there. The Milman used to finance him. But he owned the old Navari. Suppose an old museum. So he goes, get Bush's signature, pounds on the door. Two big guys come to the door, his size, oldest big guy, 6'4", 6'5", come to the door. I need to see George Herbert Walker Bush. They said, it'd be a minute. They close the door, wait a couple minutes, come back, and Bush is standing there. He opens up the door and says, Otis, come on in. He comes in, he says, sir, I got to see your face. I have this order. It has to be signed. He says, yeah, I'm aware of it. I got message on it. He said, I got to see your face, make sure it's you, sir. He pulls his hood back. Otis said he's looking around. They got a baby over there. It's dead, and they're drinking the blood of the baby, these other monsters with their black hoods on. He said he looked over and saw this short character, and he knew it was Larry Mizell in the party. Otis says, Bush looked at him. He says, Otis, if you ever tell anybody what you just seen, he says, I will personally come kill you. No, go ahead, Penny.
And that was the story I wanted you to tell. When I was in junior high school, they were passing out POW bracelets. Now, bear in mind that I've been in this program since infancy. They implanted me. They tortured me. They used me for psychic warfare. And so I pick it out of this basket. I pick out Colonel Lawrence Guarino. Colonel Lawrence Guarino, my name is 11. Colonel Lawrence Guarino was the 11th pilot to get shot down, and he was McCain's roommate at the Hanoi Hilton.
And he got shot down?
Then I find out that he wrote a book, because I start writing a book, and I find out that everything that I'm writing about and all the people are real people, and it's true. And one of my characters is Nick Forte, but I change his name around. Well, the character in Colonel Lawrence Guarino's book was named Nick Forte, and he died in Florida. So I don't know how I am doing some of the things that I'm doing, but when I started writing this book, it was actually predicated upon a television series with Castle, the TV series Psyched, and Lucifer, which all makes sense now. And I found out that the characters that I was writing about were all real people. And so I stopped writing it. And people were like, hey, I'd like to buy that book. I said, I stopped writing it because everybody in it was real. And then I sent a copy of my very first episode, which was Bedtime at Branson. I sent it to Les Kurt at the DOJ. He was the head of the MOCIC, which is a multi-organized state investigative committee in the Southwest.
Yeah, well, they did a lot of things. So she was always been really creative, and she's written songs as well. And what they do is they steal everything from you, right, Penny?
Yeah, they pretty much everything I've ever written, all songs, and I found out one of the songs that I wrote was for a defunct TV series. It was called Rudy's with Phyllis Diller. And then I found out that Manley's middle name is, I think it's Rudolph. That's why his son's name is Rolf.
Yeah.
Because it's from Rudolph.
That's what the Illuminati does to all the artists. That's why they have...
Well, yeah. I mean, my brother...
They don't really own the music. They steal it.
Right. My brother represents Madonna, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kanye West. It represents a plethora of the Illuminati. And one of the people on his list is Britney Spears. Now, I don't believe Britney Spears is evil at all. I believe Britney Spears is finally coming forth and saying that she was enslaved her entire life and that she was basically sold as an infant. That's what she's saying. And she's coming out of it. And when she shaved her head, that was an MK Ultra move. And I'm working with an individual name is Megan Walsh, and she's John Walsh's daughter. Her children have just been taken, and I'm currently researching Walsh. She's not a good person.
Yeah. So it's do you think that there's still some memories that you don't remember? I mean, are you still? How long do you think it takes people to come out of this MKUltra?
It takes your entire life. You can come out of it and realize that you were involved in it, but in regards to regaining the memories, I tell people do not go under any kind of hypnosis or regression with anyone, because I've been sent to MKUltra doctors my entire life. They are dismissive. They will drug you. They'll say you're crazy. They'll make certain that you'll never be able to stand in a court of law because they're going to say that you're schizophrenic. This was done to my brother. My brother was not schizophrenic, and then he died. They make you homeless, and they take away all your funding. He died homeless in San Diego, so they just made it look like a homeless individual got killed by another drug addict homeless individual, and that's not what happened.
Now, you ever heard of the 38 CI roster doctors, they're called? There's 38 of them as of about 10 years ago. And they have no licenses in many states, but all of a sudden they got a suicide, and a CI roster doctor comes in and takes it over from the coroner's office. And he's now in charge because the government, the U.S. government, took the case over. And they don't even, and they write suicide letters on all the stuff, the autopsy, and all of, they suicided themselves. That's one of the favorite ways.
Carrie Cassidy sent me a text a while back, and I won't speak on Carrie, but sent me a text and said that Mark McCandish had been murdered. And first she said, he's murdered. I said, who, Carrie? She says, Mark McCandish. So I don't know who Mark is. Then I look him up, and apparently he was one of the people that had brought some other people into exopolitics. And allegedly he shot himself in the head 2 months or a month before he was supposed to testify at the Senate Committee on UFOs. Because he was going to talk about the TikTok UFO thing that the military has been putting out, and say that, the military is working in conjunction with extraterrestrial factions, and they're hiding stuff from us. He was going to say that. He was going to disclose, and then he shows up suicided. So I asked a couple of his friends. I asked around. They're like, no, he would have never shot himself, ever. He was murdered.
Yeah. I'm so sick of hearing so many people being murdered, and, it's amazing that some of us are still alive, and I think it's mostly the believers, it's got to be, we have protection from God, those are the whistleblowers and the people that have survived, I think.
It is the believers. I'm convinced.
Some believers.
I am only alive because of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Same here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just people don't. Well, and then.
I've died a lot of times.
I've died 40 times at least. I'm still breathing. 40
I
years.
Had multiple attempts on my life. Multiple attempts on my life. I show right in my YouTube channel, I show all the attempts on my car. The car I'll beat up from all the attempts on my life.
So basically, if you're a whistleblower, you get killed. My brother was a whistleblower. He actually wrote a book entitled The Whistleblower about the Vatican, Bush, and my evil family. And then when he left Oregon, he left and he came to San Diego. And he lived with the homeless people for 2 years, 20 minutes from my house. He could have walked to my house. They made certain that he couldn't get to me. And then I believe he was drugged the night before, and then he was killed that day on Mission Beach because his mission was ended. And it was a strike because the individual stabbed him once. He was shorter than he was, but he stabbed him once and severed his spinal column. That's a hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're just thankful that we're alive. And I think that things are starting to turn in the right direction because of what just happened this week with the Senate. I don't know if people are aware. We've been talking a lot about Arizona, Sue and I, on the other shows. But did you hear that the Arizona election was decertified.
What exactly does that mean?
That means that the feds originally certified it, but then they found out there's so much fraud that now it's been decertified.
And why isn't this in the mainstream media?
So Biden did not win in Arizona.
And why isn't this in the mainstream media?
I don't know. I don't know. It was on. It was sent to me, and Wendy, the really good senator there, she decertified it. Her and the other senators. And so it's been decertified. So that means that they now have certified that Biden did not win in Arizona. Okay, so if you go one state where he's proven that he didn't win, so basically we don't have a real presidency.
Don't we have also Georgia? Debbie, if I may answer the question, if you can't, besides Arizona, also Georgia now has pretty much certified it out, haven't they?
Decertified it.
So now what? My question is, okay, so we get a bunch of states that decertify because they already lied. The CCP, in my estimation, compromised all of Congress to actually certify an illegal election. Now what happens? Now do we go to civil war to try and actually prove this? Because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen from here. I don't know what's going to happen for you. So I just think that it's going to be an illegitimate win. And then I think Trump will just be put back in power.
Sue, what's your conjecture?
I don't know.
What do you think, what's your feeling?
I think Trump, before it's over with, I think it's going to be 4 to 5 states are going to decertify, like you say. And I think he's going to show it. But I believe it's going to be sometime by the end of the year.
This is going to come. How do you think that he's going to actually get the power back from individuals, from the satanic individuals that, you got Biden out there, but he's asked a question by the press. When he's asked a question by the press, he turns to them and says, yes, and Republicans are saying that we're drinking the blood out of babies. And he walked away.
I understand what you're saying.
How are we actually going to take the power back that was rightfully Trump's in the first place? How is this exchange of power going to be? Because it's not going to go down lightly, and I believe that's going to engender civil war.
I think Biden's going to be impeached
for mental health reasons. I think he's going to be removed for mental health reasons, and that Trump's going to be...
Either that or he gets killed.
I'm not sure.
Well, I saw, I had some visions when I was in Branson, and one of them was I saw Trump in a second office, which didn't transpire, so I thought maybe it was a different timeline that I was seeing, but I saw my brother, I saw Darrell, I saw Tommy Smith, I saw Johnny, his son, and I saw Ben Carson, who's also a Mason and a crazy person and a Satanist, who ran for president, by the way. I saw them all in Branson, and I saw Trump standing on the side watching and declaring martial law. Now, that timeline didn't happen, but I also saw Trump get shot in the head and then return the next day. So I wondered, hey, was that a clone? All right, so let's just take the scenario now. The timeline has shifted, and Biden is in there, run by Obama, who's puppeting him. What if they wanted to take him out, maybe they shoot him in the head. Maybe what I saw in the timeline that I saw with Trump in office, maybe it actually happens to Biden, and this would happen in 2022, because that's when I saw it happening.
Now, listen. The Bible talks about the Antichrist, a head wound, in Revelations.
It talks about what?
A head wound.
Seriously?
Head wound. Then shortly thereafter, he declares himself to be God.
Because he comes back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Biden has... We already know that they're creating clones because they did it with me. They created a genetic army. I saw clones of my brother. before I got locked up in the crazy house, they sent me to a Starbucks. I went there all day long thinking I was going to see John. And what I saw was a person that came in that looked exactly like John. And my sister-in-law calls me because she knows what's going to happen. And she says, what are you seeing? And I start crying. I said, well, it's John, but it's not. His voice is different. And he's younger and he's married. And he doesn't know me, so I can't approach. She says, no, you can't. Then I look over at the drive-thru and I snap a picture of the license, because it's like Hearts in Atlantis, because that's who I am. I am an MK Ultra covert agent, and the license plate is P485150, and I'm like, I'm screwed. This is it.
Rodney
and the
Bowers,
next day, I am 5150.
Rodney Bowers of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and I talked, because I got word from a highway patrolman, forgot his name, he was anthrax murdered. He was working with me all the time. He was murdered in 86. I was hit with anthrax in 85. Now, they murdered him. But Rodney Bowers, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, did a lot of stories for Al Martin, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, myself, and many other people about Arkansas and the Clintons. We talked about the cloning. Otis Johnson
okay.
told me the cloning was real. Hope, Arkansas.
Yes, it is.
That they have cloned 10 million human beings registered with the NSA and 200,000 fallen angels. They call them aliens possessing human beings on the planet. And it's the 1952 to 2012 agreement, which has been extended, the alien agreement. They would give us technology in exchange. I put on Ed Slate, worked with the aliens, worked for Rockefeller and Rothschild, et cetera, answer to them. Built the gun for Johnson after Kennedy got murdered. He walked around with it in his pocket. Automatic weapon. He's going to kill all Secret Service. Anybody tries to kill him. Hope it. Ed made toys for the aliens, for the government. One of our scientists, he was credited for landing the module on the moon. And he said, Stone, there was no jet propulsion. There was no propulsion. They used anti-gravity. So he got a special trip because he was Space Kennedy Space Center. He's up on the front of my website. Got to know him. Used to buy me lunch three times a week. The last 2 months I was over here, bleeding my brain. They tried to kill him. He made a loaf of bread out of U-metal. Element 115, the Robotoids are made out of. Now, these are robots. These aren't clones. These are robots that look like human beings, external skeleton. The only thing that will kill it is an army-piercing bullet to the head where the computer brain is.
They think synthetic.
When Ferguson, Missouri went off, I talked to Otis later, and I said, Otis, I said, a lot of people have been arrested down in Ferguson. He says, yeah, they sent the clones in, Stu. You know what that means? No. He said, while the riots were going on in Ferguson, Missouri, they send the clones in. They're black, white. They're holding up signs, and they're in there protesting and breaking stuff up, but they're shaking your hand. When they shake your hand, it takes your fingerprints. Everybody in Ferguson, Missouri that participated in those riots and looting all went to jail because the government identified them.
Okay, so if the government has this technology and is identifying it, you know, friends of my friend, the Hoopers, who are in Homer, Alaska, they have the same day that Giuliano is arrested by the FBI, and they go and they look for probably Hunter Biden's laptop. They breach her perimeter, and they detain her. They take our pocket constitution, which this was talked about in Congress as to why this happened, and they blame her. They say that they're looking for Pelosi's laptop, and they say they have video of her in the White House. She says, I was never in the White House. I was there as a Trump supporter, but I was never anywhere near the grounds in the White House. That's not me. So now they have this technology. How are they making this fatal mistake with this one individual? And now she's targeted, and when she flies back into San Diego or back into L.A. for a funeral, she gets stopped by PSA, and now she just got stopped when she came back from Gelato. Their name is the Hoovers, Marilyn Paul Hoover. She gets stopped for a DUI. She's not even drinking.
Let's pay them back right now. Go to GNews.com, folks. GNews.com. Hunter Biden screwing his sister, and all these little kids, including Joe Biden, are up on GNews. I won't even hook the thing up that had me classified as a porno site. They've already tried to duplicate my site twice, and this is the Israelis and the U.S. government, and I discovered it in the past couple of days. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm just saying we know that they have this technology, and we know that it's available to them. You're saying that they can take your fingerprints from a handshake, but yet they can't identify. And we also know they have the identification process, but the FBI can't identify that this person that they broke down her door and detained her and arrested her, held her, let's just say she didn't arrest her, but interrogated her for like 6 hours in her home, that they didn't know that wasn't her.
She was...
She was targeted, the vision by the FBI.
A lot of people are being targeted just for being there.
Because she was a Trump supporter. We already know that they have the technology to identify that wasn't her.
Oh, yeah, they don't care. They don't care. And also, this is something that a lot of people don't know, is the post office is now involved in illegally spying on everybody.
The inspector generals in each city. They have in each city. The post, I think it's 11 districts or something. It was on the federal level or something like that. They are involved themselves. This is where they've infiltrated. They had put the Strux type in the FBI, overlaying the CIA. They put the McCabe, the McComey. They put all these in the post office. My mail was being diverted, and a super spook, a former U.S. Inspector General. Now, this is the big boy. This is the top cop over all the other inspector generals. I met him. He became a friend. We don't talk. Safety of his life. He told me the inspector generals of the post offices monitor everybody's mail, and they open your friggin' mail.
Yep.
Yeah, I exposed it to one of my videos. I was on the phone with them, and I had missing mail, and they wouldn't give me my case number and figure out where my mail was, and I had insurance on that package. Basically, I never got reimbursed for the damage, and they never even got back to me. And then I was getting mad at the customer service person, and I said, look, this is my tax money that's paying you, and you're being really rude. She said, no, we are a private agency, ma'am. We are not involved with the federal government. So the U.S. Post Office, apparently years ago, became owned by a private entity. I believe it's the United Nations.
What they do is incorporate...
I don't even think people that know that work for the post office know that it's not.
They've incorporated these agencies, incorporated them. That way, the liability stops at the corporate structure. They've done it with all the agencies that incorporated them.
Yeah, they've incorporated the post office. So I no longer will send any mail through the post office. It's very dangerous now. And they've been involved. I know they were always spying on my mail for years.
Ladies, I've been praying for years, or for the past year. I've seen this stuff turn so satanic. I know we're in end-time prophecies. We are at the
end.
Yes,
we are.
We're in that last 3 to 4 years. And like Otis Johnson said, they saw through the CERN for his death computer. The super collider in Switzerland. He said between 2021, late through 2025, we're going to be pelleted 2 times with stars that they won't be able to stop coming in. Now, something hit us yesterday, folks, meteor. Don't know what it was, but it came in so fast, the government couldn't go out there with the flying saucer that John Lear's dad built in 1952 to 59. I've had John Lear, the test pilot. His dad was Lear Jets. He built the saucers in secret for the government with the alien technology. We got rockets they put on these stars, and they move between the Earth and the Moon. They've done a couple of them. Something hit us yesterday. But I thought I heard on the news at late. This is 1 o'clock. I was tired. Been website being hacked. Everything fighting. We were just hit by a meteor. But there was a second meter, I thought they said. Now, that's in Revelations. There's two of them. Oh, it said we'd be up between late 2021 and 2025. And said they saw in CERN, the super collider, where they were doing space-time. He said by 2025, the Earth would be hit with a planet six times the size of the Earth, and it was a big fireball, popped around the sun and popped us. And he said it's the end of the Earth. He says, Stu, think about what Christ said. Jesus said, God, I'm going to end the earth with fire, and I'm going to create a new heaven and earth. I think we're at that stage.
But definitely in Revelations, because people are waking up. Now, I had seen, and when I was on Carrie Cassidy, I said I saw Civil War.
I like Carrie. She was okay. I think she tried to do the right thing, but she's taking a lot of pressure for what she tried to do.
She actually had her her site removed from YouTube. So I had blocked her at one point. I unblocked her to just tell her I believe that, you know, this is no longer America.
And I was interviews with me. It got a lot of traffic, a lot of noise. I liked her. She came out of Jet Propulsion Center, by the way. NASA. Jet Propulsion Center was where she worked at one time.
She worked at JPL?
Yeah.
Carrie Cassidy worked at JPL.
California. I know her background.
I did not know
that. I checked her out. Believe me. Now, I got enough spoons to check everybody else out. Just like
I did not know that Carrie Cassidy worked for JPL.
Yes, she did. Now, I think she was, should we say, let's put her in the white hat bases. Among the black hats, bad people. She pops up. Hey, we'll leave it at that. There's a lot of white hats out there, just like two of you. You got white hats on. You're blown from the rooftop.
I'm actually a white hat, but I wear a black hat.
You're doing God's will, and you're blowing your mouth out from the rooftop, risking your life. I've been offered $7 million in cash to go the fuck away and shut up, and I didn't take it. I don't serve the devil. I serve Christ, and I know my place. I'm one to the last, and so are both you screaming from the rooftop. There's going to be many more before this is over with. And we are going to win the pagan battle. We will win. They will lose.
I never had anybody try to bribe me. They're like, I'm not even
going to
mess with her.
I just laughed at the guy.
Yeah.
I laughed at it was Norm Earley. If you can believe this, it was Norm Earley, the former mayor of Denver, Colorado, tried to bribe me through Milman, my ex-father-in-law. In 1997, when Ross Perot had a grand jury going, and I went to the grand jury room in Denver, Colorado, and Mark Sloan, his counterpart, FBI shithead, you go to the lawyer, I ask you, I have a subpoena. Get the fuck out of the door. Get out of my way. You ain't going in there. We're going to arrest you. We're going to make you a political prisoner again. I said, fuck you, Mark. I'll be back. And I walked downstairs. They found me all the way out the courthouse, down to the parking lot to make sure I left. The next day, the grand jury was sealed by a U.S. attorney cover-up meister named Kaufman. My ex-father-in-law paid a $80 million fine, Leonard Melman. Larry Mizell and his counterpart, the APEC director. Mizell, by the way, is the fallen angel possessed from my mother. He did so well for the commission, the council. He got fallen angel possessed. But Brownstein and him paid a $10 million fine each. Federico Pena, former mayor of Denver, secretary of transportation, then became Secretary of Energy, had to resign because he was under indictment. Bob Rabchick of the Rocky Mountain News used to do stories for him, asking, is it true you're under indictment? That's a true reason that you just resigned? Oh, hey, I want to talk to you afterwards, he's screaming in. He paid a $1 million fine. But he got to keep $1.5 million of his $2.5 million bribe paid by Phil Wynn, the convicted hub figure, the Don Silver, the head federal judge that sealed his case. And Clinton's getting the presidential pardon 10 years later after he pled guilty. He was the one who issued the warrant for my arrest. And I screamed at the bastard, I demand your recusal. We had a two-story courtroom for obstruction of justice. He says, get in the back of the courtroom. U.S. Marshal signals me. I go walking over there. He goes, oh, this bastard's going to be mad at me all day and everybody else for what you just said. But he said, Webb, you got your day in court. Next day, taking the court, right? Left in jail. So you've been served. Some U.S. Marshal I've never seen before throws these papers at me. You've got a new judge on the case. He recused himself. I went back to my court, or to my prison cell. At 12 o'clock, they hauled servos back. I got on my rack, my own rack. They wouldn't put anybody in with me. I told them, you put anybody in, I'll kill them. Keep them out. I prayed to Jesus Christ, screaming at God Almighty, screaming at Jesus, you know I'm innocent. Why am I here? I went on. Next morning, I was exhausted, didn't have any breakfast. Went to the TV room because I was non-trial. They couldn't make me work. I looked at the TV. The judge that was the judge who was assigned to the case that day that I did not appear before his court, son had a Clorox bottle poured down his throat by two co-cores and one of the boyfriends of a strip joint that Norman Mizell and Brownstein owned. Pelican Pete's strip joints. Pelican Pete's is where they brought the drugs into, but it was Bobby Rifkin. Only strip bars in Denver. And they, corporate structure, if you go to Colorado, Secretary of State, punching Bobby Rifkin, look it up. There's the old trail of all connected, the paperwork. This guy was a coke dealer at one of the strip joints, and he died. The judge was recused from my case, and Richard Mache was appointed to the judge, the Oklahoma City bombing prosecutor, whose daughter had been murdered, shoved in a volcano, for me causing the Keating Five story. Debbie, you never heard this. The Keating Five. They targeted him because he was the judge that put him in mourning. This other judge went into Sparns or Spar, whatever his name was, went in the morning, and Judge Richard Mache was the one that released me from prison, screaming at the prosecutor for wasting $750,000 taxpayers' money. That was God. Me screaming, I am innocent. I am the salvation. Bam, he took care of the problem. Now, Debbie. Penny, is the power of God tremendous or not?
Yes, it is.
Tell the people, tell the listeners, how God has protected you all these years, Penny and Debbie.
Well, every time that I was killed, I came back even stronger, and they asked me, what did God say to you? Because they wanted to know, because they can't talk to God. Because God is at a different frequency than they are, and they're lower level frequency beings, reptilians and greys and fallen angels.
And human beings
talk in a higher frequency.
And human beings possessed by demons.
Yes, that's it.
Go ahead.
Debbie?
When I found out through Austin Steinberg truly who John McCain was about a year and a half ago, that's when I realized truly how much of a miracle it is that I'm even alive. Because if they found out that John McCain was the head of the deep state, he was the secret kingpin. And I was the only one in the history of 30-some years that has ever survived trying to expose him. So, I mean, if that's not God, I don't know what is, you know, and I don't have a scratch on me. You know, if that's not God, I don't know what is, you know, I've had a couple of car accidents, but I'm fine. You know, I mean, that's God. But, I mean, so, I mean, this guy, you know, being a senator was just a minor role. You know, what his real job was is that he was the secret kingpin of the D6 and the MI6. Now, and this hasn't become mainstream.
This Senator John McCain and Nancy McCain and their daughter are satanic built, in my opinion. Move on, Debbie.
Well, I mean, nobody knows this. I mean, this hasn't become mainstream yet, but that's why Trump was always saying, well, he's not a hero. You know, they're just constantly in battle there. Well, I knew what was going on.
You had to see the traitor.
I had driven to Trump Tower, handed them him his people a bunch of information of what happened to me at the Arizona Guard, and you know, and he was researching for years different things in Arizona, and that's why, you know, he was starting to figure out who McCain was. He probably already had a sense, but I helped with some evidence, you know, and you know, they were out getting into it publicly, you know. Well, he had very good reason to not like McCain when he was finding out about who he really was. So there was the baby Q, Austin Seifert, these Q people, I mean, they started exposing him. And Austin Seifert exposed him on his station. Now he's finally starting to talk again. They shut him up. Tried to shut him up. But he's fine. And but Austin Seifert is this guy here that got, he worked for the DEA. Or not the DEA.
The CIA?
Not the CIA. It starts with the
DEA. The Defense Intelligence Agency.
Right. Okay, so Austin Seifert worked for the DIA. And he was starting to realize who McCain was. And so he was part of exposing McCain and finding out who he really was.
I'm
going to
have to get going.
Yeah. I'm going to add something real quick, Benny, before we cut it off.
Yeah.
Here's another story about prayer, because I believe in God, Christ, and God. Ted Gunnison, he brought those false charges. Stu Webb robbed me. No, I didn't rob him. I wasn't charged with that. I was charged with assault on his property of this killer. Killed two people. Didn't pay him their money. Psychopath. Can't remember his name. Don't want to know it right now to have temporary insanity. Here's the point. Lloyd Deffenbaugh, the public defender of Las Vegas, Nevada, calls me up after these charges are hanging over my head for a year and a half. A couple months before court. I'm praying to Jesus, bring Lloyd Deffenbaugh to salvation. Bring the prosecutor to salvation and bring his assistant, this female, to salvation. Or God, take him off my planet. So I started praying that. Every week, twice a week sometimes, three times a week. All of a sudden one day, I'm screaming to God, said, hey, you know I'm innocent. I don't want to have these charges. I don't want to even go to court. I get a phone call a few days later. Lloyd Deffenbaugh, my public defender, Stu Webb, how are you? And I said, I'm good, Lori. What's going on? I'm standing in Las Vegas in the kitchen. I remember this conversation. She said, well, I got good news for you. I got some bad news, but I got news. I said, Lori, what's the news? She says, you're a holy man. I remember standing back against the counter. This before we had cell phones, and I got a long cord in my hand. Holding the phone, I said, Lori, I'm no holy man. What are you talking about? She said, God showed me that. I said, okay, well, talk to me. Why did God show you that? She said, the prosecutor came to my office this morning in tears, crying his heart out. I had to close the door and have private conversation with him. She knew I was innocent because I took a lie detector test. Here I am. About 2 months before court, he comes to her office crying with a file in his hand, and he says, here's the file where I'm dropping charges against Stewart. God told me if I don't today, he's going to kill me like he killed me in Sunrise night, and I'm going to crashed. I said, what did you tell me, Lori? The prosecutor said God told him that morning he was going to kill him before the day was over if he did not drop the charges against Stu Rudd, and he would kill him like he killed his son the night before in a car crash because he was evil. Here's the charges. She said, oh, we're going to have court in like 10 days. I said, I'll be there. That's the power of God. Two times, one judge's son died, one prosecutor. I've seen other people die. Now, I'm going to end this prayer with a prayer. I want to end the program with a prayer. And if you two ladies want to join, you may. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, Almighty God, my Lord and Savior, I ask, Father, that you bring war and angels against our enemies, that you go against everyone in Washington, D.C., inside the U.S. government, every person, inside state governments, representatives, prosecutors, agents of the government, the deep state, that you bring them to salvation, Father, and you bring your families to salvation, and you take them off of my planet, God. I want you to punish them and destroy them and clean this planet up. And I ask in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, you brother, I ask it to be. Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies.
That's an awesome prayer, Stu, and I love that prayer. And I must say I echo it, and I have prayed something extremely similar to that prayer in regards to these deep state Satanists who are raping little children and drinking their blood and eating them and wearing them as shoes. They need to be dismissed off of this planet. So I totally, heartily concur with that prayer. And I thank you so much for your time and letting me be, you know, and speak with you and you know, and your friendship these days. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Penny Shepherd. Give out a site where people can get information on you. And Debbie Davis, both of your federal whistleblowers, you give out your site where people can find your latest videos as well.
I don't have any videos on my thing. I've got a couple. I haven't started a podcast yet. I've been on a bunch of podcasts. My website is my name, which is Shepherd, Shepard, hyphen the word entertainment.com. My blog, which is more updated than my website, is Shepherd, Shepard, entertainment.blogspot.com, and I write about satanic Hollywood. I write about the deep state. I write about MK Ultra and sex trafficking, and I write about the deep state dark covert black ops under MK Ultra, which many people don't write about.
Now, Penny, send me a contact at stuweb.com your link so I can put it underneath the show tomorrow morning. And Debbie Davis, give me your link as well, but give people where they can see your latest interview that you've done. You did it yourself, and where people can find you as well.
Well, I have just a YouTube channel, Debbie Davis, and I'm in a military uniform. If you can't find my name, you can type in Arizona National Guard whistleblower, Debbie Davis. And I have my uniform on in that picture, and I have a YouTube channel. I don't know how, by the grace of God, it hasn't been taken down. So I'm on YouTube as well, and then I've been on several other people's shows, but then a lot of those have been taken down. So.
Send me the links, contact at Stu Webb, and I'll stick them underneath the show tomorrow. I want to thank both of you ladies, Debbie Davis, I thank you, Penny Shepherd, I thank you both very much. And ladies, we're going to do this many more times, and we're going to bring more on. We're going to pound these people. I have an attitude. They killed my father, and I have nothing to lose. Your asses are toast. We shall talk.
Yeah, this is just too much.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you both very much.
All right, have fun.
You too.
All right.